You're listening to Kol Dodi Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. Our services are every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. For more information, like us on Facebook or visit our website at koldodi.org.
This morning, we're going to look at Numbers chapters 25 and 27. So if you'll turn there, Numbers chapter 25 and 27, we're going to look at two acts of courage. Two acts of courage. Are you ready? Two acts of courage. And so, Pinchas, and he kills two people, Zimri and Cozbi, and then the daughters of Zilafchad, and how they appeal, their act where they appeal to Moses, that's chapter 27, they appeal to Moses, Eleazar, and the princes to claim an inheritance property. So, Father, we pray you open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word. Speak to us now as we look at the scriptures through these passages and teach us things that will help us in our lives as we serve you, as we follow you, as your children, as your sons and daughters. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Gali nai va'avitani fla'ot me'torotecha. Amen. So, I don't know about some of you, but my wife doesn't like to watch so much action movies necessarily, or violent movies with violence or blood too much, as I might like them sometimes. I love Gladiator. I mean, except that I know it's a sad ending, so sometimes I don't want to watch it, you know, but because I know it's a sad ending, but or Braveheart or these things. But she does like Bourne. She has watched the Bourne series with me. I mean, something like First Blood, can't get her to watch, you know, on Rambo and stuff like that. I was looking up some of the movies that I've liked like that. I won't mention some other ones because that might. But there are movies with revenge in them. Movies with and revenge isn't really the issue. But you want movies that don't even deal with revenge, but also redemption, right? As believers, we want movies that aren't not only just revenge, but redemption. Well, the first story we're looking at here is an interesting story. You say, what? This is in the Bible, and this is a hero in the Bible? Well, look what happens here in chapter 25 of Numbers. Let me give you a little synopsis of it. A number of Jewish men had been seduced by, and you know, if we were going to, actually, we're going to, at some point, all grab spears and carry this out today. We're not going to do it. A number of Jewish men had been seduced by foreign women, and it was actually a terrible scene. They were both sexually and religiously seduced, and as was often the case in ancient cultures, sexual immorality was frequently mixed into pagan rites and religion. And so a defiant, public, shameful, and arrogant, in-your-face act of rebellion and immorality was directed at Moses' leadership when a tribal leader had sex in full view of Moses and the Israelites. So realize, picture, this is what's happening. And right in front of the holy tent of meeting where God would converse with Moses, no less. So this was a horrible act. And it's like an I double dare you right in Moses' face. And the people were aghast and they were so in shock that they were paralyzed as to what to do and how to react. And amidst this confusion that even seized Moses, who seemed at a loss, Pinchas, this fellow named Pinchas, stands up and he makes a decisive act. He grabs a spear, a javelin or spear, and he kills the couple. Yeah, he spears them. He goes into the tent and throws and spears them right through them both. And as a result of this act, it stops a plague that God had brought against the Israelites as punishment. Now, sometimes it's better not to ask for and wait for permission, but to take matters into our own hands and to do what needs to be done. There's a principle here. Now, I'm not saying kill anybody by any means, please, obviously. But personally, I'm not so good always at following rules, and that's not always good, as my wife will be very quick to tell you. And sometimes I prefer maybe to live on the edge. I like the, you know, excitement of not knowing what's going to happen rather than knowing what's going to happen. But God makes both types of people, and we need each other in the way God has made us, right? We know that in relationships. And Rabbi Tzvi makes this comment of Florida. He says, there are certain times in life when you cannot go through the normal channels, ask permission, wait for due process, or fill out the necessary forms. Sometimes, he says, not all the time, but sometimes we need the zealousness of Pinchas. We need to seize the moment, let our passion for justice, and that's what it was here, passion for justice, not just to do something exciting, or our parental emotions for our children's welfare, take hold and break protocol and do whatever is necessary for something imperative to get done. Those are the times when we cannot simply go by the book, wait and hope. The occasion demands a swift, out-of-the-box decision and action, and it may very well remedy a terrible wrong being committed in the case with Pinchas. Needless to say, we've seen, read books, seen movies, and our stomachs, we all get nauseous when we see how our people leading up to the Holocaust, oftentimes, you know, it's like they say, the heating up of the water, you know, to boiling, and your, what is the frog, yeah, the frog, it gradually happens, and you do nothing. And things were getting worse and worse, and we didn't do anything, and it was too late. And so, and we look at sometimes the inaction, and sometimes Israeli soldiers, you know, we've learned, any of you know that have been to Israel or lived in Israel, you know that Israeli soldiers sometimes don't like to look at the Holocaust because they can't imagine not taking action. They don't like to think that of the Jewish people, because today everyone serves in Israel. You serve in the IDF. It's a normal part of life to defend yourself and to take action. And they don't like to think of us going to the slaughter as lambs to the slaughter. You know, it's hard to watch that. Well, this was Hashem's holy anger, what happened here. And it's the same anger we see in Elijah, Eliyahu, against the prophets of Baal. I think it's the same anger we see, no question in my mind, in Paul, in the New Covenant, really against those trying to bring the saints back under a yoke of slavery again. In Galatians 5:1, he telling them that they needed to be circumcised and be justified by Torah rather than by grace, in 5:3 and 4 of Galatians. This is in order to avoid being persecuted for the message of the truth of the good news of Yeshua and salvation in Him alone. 6:12 it says, Galatians. They didn't want to be left out. They didn't want to be excluded from the circle, looked upon as pariahs. We want to be loved by everybody. I hate that. Don't you hate that? I hate that, being around people where, I want to be accepted by everyone. I don't want anyone to think ill of me. So I do everything to be accepted. I hate that spirit, and I believe God does too. Paul says in Galatians, he says, I only wish that those who were agitating you would castrate themselves. That's pretty strong language. That's what Paul says, Galatians 5:12. Look it up. That's pretty holy anger. Yeshua was furious at the Torah scholars and the Pharisees in Matthew 23. 7 times he says it. He yells at them. He says at the Torah scholars and Pharisees, he calls them hypocrites 6 times. Not all of them, needless to say. Not all of them. Matter of fact, he called some of them, Nicodemus was a godly one, and he says, others are going to come. I'm going to send others that are good, to reprimand you. But those that were hypocrites, he was furious at, because they misrepresented God to the people. And they imprisoned them. And he was furious at the money changers in John chapter 2, making merchandise of God's house, twisting. Zimri, made a mockery of God before all. This man in Numbers 25, that's what his name was, Zimri. It's an interesting song. One of an artist, she's a Jewish artist, actually. She speaks fluent Russian, sings in Russian, and I pray for her to come to know the Lord, but I just love her music. She's so creative. Regina Spektor, some of you know her. I just love her. I've seen her in concert, I think twice. And I really pray for her that she comes to know Yeshua. And she has a song called Laughing With. It's called Laughing With. And its lyrics are unbelievable. No one laughs at God in a hospital. No one laughs at God in a war. No one's laughing at God when you're hungry or starving or so very poor. And in part of the lyrics it says, God could be funny when told he'll give your money. God could be funny when told he'll give you money if you'll just pray the right way. And when presented like a genie who does magic like Houdini or grants wishes like Jiminy Cricket and Santa Claus, God could be so hilarious, ha ha. Sometimes I feel like I'd like to be Pinchas taking a spear through the phony purveyors of such twisted teachings, turning people who turn God into dirt and dung and driving countless people away from him so that they never come to know him as he really is in truth and grace. They never come to know him. I don't mean kill people, obviously, but put spears through their images, their false images and ministries, because they create a twisted image of God. And that's what she's really singing about in that song. And how sad. People don't want to know God because they have such a horrible image of him through what religious images give, what religious people give. Pinchas, son of Eleazar, it says in Numbers 25, son of Aaron the Kohen, has turned away my anger from the children of Israel because he was very zealous, kana, the Hebrew word for jealousy or zealous, for me, God says, among them, so that I did not put an end to the children of Israel in my zeal. His zeal was my zeal, God said. He was filled with my zeal. For me among them, he says, now say, see, I am making with him a covenant of shalom. It will be for him and his descendants after him, a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and atoned for the children of Israel. That's 25 verses 11 through 13. Listen to this. Pinchas was given a covenant of eternal priesthood for his deed. Yeshua was given an eternal priesthood for his deed, wasn't he? What did he do? Well, Yeshua slew Hasatan, didn't he? He slew Satan. And he stopped the worst plague of all, didn't he? The plague of death, of eternal death, through sin. And so Yeshua is given an eternal priesthood. Pinchas, according to the rabbis, I don't know if it's true in this sense, but just interesting, according to the rabbis, he's still alive today. Yeshua, we know, is still alive today. He's a priest forever. Psalm 110:4, verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a Kohen forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Or Hebrews 7:25, he's able to save completely those who draw near to God through him. He's always making intercession for them. He's alive right now. We have such a Kohen Gadol, a high priest in Hebrews 8:1. He's ever living. He's right now in Hebrews 8:1, seated at the right hand of the throne in the heavens. He's in heaven itself, appearing in the presence of God on our behalf in Hebrews 9:24. He's our high priest and living forever, all because of his finished work. Thank God. So amazing parallel between Pinchas and Yeshua for this. And then we have, moving on to the second act, act number two, which I want to really look at. Spend the remaining time on more important, and not more important, but more focus more on. Chapter 27. The Israelites were about to enter the promised land. Now they're about to divide it among the 12 tribes. And a claim of inheritance for part of it was made by the five daughters. There's five daughters here of Tzelophehad, We'll try to say it. Salaf, Salaf Chad. Let's try it. Perfect. You did, said it better than I did. Reuben said it better than that. No, did you say it? Salaf Chad. Say it five times, really fast. Salaf Chad, Salaf Chad. All right, let me read it. The daughters, I'm going to read verses, well, parts of verses 1 through 7, chapter 27. The daughters of Tzlachad, they came close and stood in front of Moshe and in front of Elazar, the high priest, and in front of the princes of the 12 tribes, and in front of the entire assembly at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And this is what they said. Our father died in the desert. They said he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be absent from among the family because he hadn't a son? Give us, look at their courage, give us a possession of the land among our father's brothers. What a bold request. So Moses brought their claim before God. Moses, notice he didn't react against them. He didn't say, shut up, sit back down. Go home. He didn't say, it's not your place to ask. He didn't say, who are you to talk to approach me, us? We're more, you know, who are you? He went to God. He said, you know what? And I often, he was a lot better than I am. Sometimes I will react. I oftentimes react, on, I will say, confess. God, and have to ask forgiveness when something happens. But Moses did the smart thing. Take it to God. Maybe, God, you're speaking through these people. Maybe this is you making me look at something differently. He brought the claim before God, and the Lord spoke to Moses. The daughters of Tzlachad are totally right. You certainly must give them a possession of inheritance. Wow. Listen to them, Moses. They're right. They're on the money. They're on the money. They're on target, Moses. Do it. Do what they're asking. They spoke up and they made their case. They asked for a revision in the laws of inheritance, a female inheritance of property, an exception to the patrilineal transfer of the land. In front of all the heavy hitters, Moses, the high priest, Elazar, and the 12 tribal princes, all of it in a very public forum of the entire assembly of people who were all in earshot of the tent of meeting. Bravery, fearlessness, conviction, respect, they did it with respect, resolve. This is what I see. And all before the central structure around which the Jewish people encamped, and even the very spot that God would speak with Moses, the tent of meeting. It's like a mini Mount Sinai. Imagine the intimidation. Can you imagine it? How intimidated they could have felt? Rabbi Tzvi says this, as you can see, is one of my favorite. They were willing to confront and take on the entire powerful establishment at the seat of power, if need be, and they did, and they won. They were granted full property rights in their father's inheritance, and they were used to establish a legal principle setting precedent for the rest of the nation, clarified further in Numbers chapter 36. Their action had a great influence to help many others for the future. This is amazing. Get this. This is amazing. They're going up, and they're challenging the status quo. Now, I don't know what that may mean for you this morning or for me. I don't know. May the Holy Spirit show us what that means in our music, in our outreach. We have to be open. We need to be open to unorthodox, authentic means, methods, traditional, non-traditional, in anything. As Messianic Jews, I'll mention a few things. As Messianic Jews in the Jewish community, I've mentioned this a long time ago, but asserting our place, we're not second-class Jews, no matter what we're told sometimes. Assert our place. As Messianic Gentiles, if you're Messianic Gentile in the Christian community, not mainstream, non-mainstream rather, can become mainstream. We need to redefine what's normal and what's acceptable and what's accurate. Don't be told, don't accept the terms that are given. Redefine them. Redefine them. My father, I'll just mention my father, I remember growing up, it's a long time ago, my father was the first, I remember, to take off, I wore a tie this morning, he was the first, he was a professor at university, and he was the first to take off his tie and stop wearing a tie at university in those days, you know, in Temple University, Philadelphia, and he was the first one. And first it was like, what? You have to wear a tie as a university? This is a long time ago. But then others started doing it too, you know. But he was pretty radical. He's very radical. He's radical with civil rights. He was radical in everything. And I just want to say, don't have a victim mentality. Have a victor mindset. Be bold and courageous and take what's yours. Don't let the enemy keep you from it. Let me give you some verses like Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I'll just read part of that. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I'm giving you, the Lord said, as I spoke to Moses. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. When God, I'm talking about when the Lord puts something in your heart. I will be with you when God gives you a word. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Chazak, be strong, for you will lead this people to inherit the land. I swore to their fathers, only be very strong and resolute to observe diligently the Torah which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Have not I commanded you? Chazak, be strong and of good courage. Do not be terrified or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And, you know, the Lord told them the secret, the key to that, of course, is meditating on my word day and night and keeping it. Don't be passive. It's not que sera, sera. You know, whatever will be. But be aggressive and assertive in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, Ephesians 6:10. The righteous are as meek as a lion. Did I get that right? Proverbs 28:1. The righteous are as meek as a lion. Thank you. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom should I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my light, of my life. Whom should I dread? Or Hebrews 6:12, 15, and 10:36, so you will not be sluggish, but imitators. And the Greek is mimetes. So picture a mime. Ever do mime? We used to do mime for outreach. Used to be fun. You get a good crowd and you start doing mime. You know? And be not sluggish, but mimes, so to speak, imitators of those inheriting the promises through trust and perseverance. For you need perseverance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promises. You may receive the promise. Don't quit, in other words. Don't give up. Don't be lazy. Don't hang back. Don't just say, oh, I don't know if it'll work out. But trust the Lord and continue through it. Remember that what you're doing is not just to change your situation, but generations to follow. It's for late. It's for others that'll follow you. They won their case. Their case was adjudicated and vindicated, and their cause was upheld. And now, precedent was set for future generations. New legal rulings were created, actually. 2711, chapter 2711 says this. This is to be a legal statute for the children of Israel, B'nai Israel, just as Adonai commanded Moses. expanded later in chapter 36, a new chapter in the Torah. Do you see this? A new chapter. In a sense, listen, in a sense, we're still writing the Bible. In a sense. New heroes and heroines of the faith in every generation. Like Hebrews 11. Now, the Bible is not, you know, it's not still being written, obviously, from Genesis to Revelation. It's complete. It's fully inspired. If someone says, oh, I'm writing, this is my, you know, this is inspired. It's not that. But we are still living epistles. In 2 Corinthians 3:2, we are God's living letters. In that sense, we are, God is still writing his, we are a letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone, 2 Corinthians 3:2. In that sense, we're still being, God is still writing the Bible through us, in that sense. I remember when my mom, who also was an educator and got her PhD and worked really hard and had suffered a lot of, you know, a lot of, I think, you know, persecutions in her day from others in her sphere. And I remember when she had become a believer and she introduced the book Johnny, you know, Johnny Erickson, and she introduced that book into the curriculum in a very secular environment, you know, a very secular system in the Northeast. And she introduced that and as required reading and got so much resistance from her peers. Many people were upset with her. God said in verse 7 of chapter 27, their disturbing, seemingly arrogant request is totally right. What they are asking is totally right. The Hebrew says this, yes, speak the daughters of Tzelafchad. Ken benot Tzelafchad divrot. Yes, ken. Let's say the word ken. Can. It's a word for yes. And it really means from Canaan, it really means to establish a firm beginning. To establish a firm beginning. Setting a foundation. So it results in a totally new law being introduced here. A new chapter in the Torah. The laws of inheritance. What they did changed history. They were the catalyst. These five women, they were a vehicle for God's word being revealed. Their actions resulted in benefit for countless generations after them. Now, we could mention many courageous women in the Bible who changed history. We could mention Sarah, the Hebrew midwives, Rahab or Rahab, Ruth, Esther, Abigail, the Shunammite woman, the woman with the alabaster jar of pure nard in front of the table of men, of dumbfounded men and with Yeshua, or Phoebe, all of them, God would say, they were right. Certainly, absolutely give them and their families a possession of inheritance, God said to these five women. And I'll close with these thoughts then. Our initiative, our proactive stance, our leadership may in turn help others who were not even in sight when we acted. When we acted. Weren't in sight. We would ask, why didn't Moses or Eleazar or any of the princes think of this? Why didn't they think of it? What these women were asking, why didn't they think of it? And the answer seems obvious to me, because it wasn't their job to. It wasn't their job to. God put it in the daughters of Zelachad's hearts. It was their job to. He put it in their hearts to think of it. Sometimes we say, well, why didn't these people, because God's put it in your mind, in your heart. You're the one that's upset over it. You're the one that's disturbed about it. You're the one that can't sleep over it. Well, that's because God's putting it. It's your job. Don't worry about why what they're not doing. Worry about why it's in your lap. Do something about it. Some of the greatest ministries within a synagogue or church or government or whatever come through the courageous initiative or community, courageous initiative of a member or members or citizen or whatever. And a last statement, don't allow circumstances or other people, and they may be well-meaning. They may not intend to interfere or be ignorant or whatever, but don't allow circumstances or other people to intimidate you from advocating for the just cause which God has put burning upon your heart or in your mind, however unorthodox it may be. If it hasn't been done yet, it may be because it's to be done by you. Amen. Father, take these words, these thoughts today. Water them by your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, of those who know you. We love you and we thank you. May it bring forth fruit for your glory. Thank you for the privilege of being your living letters, making a difference for your glory, to help others. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua the Messiah, the ruler of peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Have a great Shabbat.